What's going on, hockey fans? This is episode 107 of the Clappercast. I'm Burke, and like every other episode, I'm joined by my co-host, Sean. Sean, what's going on?
We're recording a special underwater edition of the podcast today, as southwestern BC is getting a month's worth of rain in like 24 hours.
At least we don't live in Merritt, because the whole town got evacuated, so shout out to anybody in Merritt. That sucks. Like 10 a.m., you just get evacuated from your town.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just awful what's going on. Highways, like, the city of Vancouver is completely shut off from the rest of the province because all the highways washed out. Like, the Hope is without power, and all of the roads leading into it are the highways that are washed out.
Rough, yeah.
Vancouver Island, like, the only road up and down the island is washed out and shut down and basically just a river at this point.
Yeah, I had hockey yesterday, and I was coming home. It was, like, across town. I had to take the highway, and I saw, like, a flipped-over truck and, like, a multi-car pileup, and I also had someone, like, run through a puddle next to me, and, like, a bunch of water, like, landed on my windshield. I was like, yeah, it's like, monsoon season out there right now.
Yep.
So, yeah, hopefully the power stays on, and we can record the whole episode here. I know it's been on and off for a few people down in Victoria, at least, but I don't know about...
We're going to end up on a cliffhanger here this episode.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's also kind of a weird night for hockey because there's only two games on, and it sucks.
Yeah, this entire week is just a terrible balancing of the schedule.
Yeah,
there's
there's
like two or three games Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and 12 or 13 Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Yeah, it's either like drought or monsoon. So it's, you know, keeping with our theme here, it's really weird. It's very, very bizarre. And
not great for fantasy hockey players either, because then you have to figure out who to try and bench on the on nights.
Yeah, and then to make things worse, Ottawa Senators had, their games this week postponed because they had 10 players on the COVID list.
Which is quite puzzling because the league just let them play Saturday and Sunday. And then postpone them for a week on Monday.
Yeah.
Which is quite weird. And they had Drake Batherson, who tested positive Saturday before the game, got it cleared before, so he played on Saturday, and then got put back on COVID protocol on Sunday.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
It's like something's going on with that, and it wasn't handled very well.
No. So, I don't know. That was weird. So, yeah, there's no games for them this week, so... You know, that affects, I think it was what, the Rangers, the Nashville Predators, and the Devils. So they miss a game each this week. But, you know, this is the first time this has happened this season, and last season by this time we had like almost entire conferences shut down, so, or divisions rather, shut down. So, knock on wood, this is the only one that happens this year, but it's going to be interesting to see where they reschedule these, because there's like, I think they are quite firm on when they want the season to end.
I don't think they put a buffer week in this one.
Well, there's the Olympic break.
Uh-oh.
And I think the cutoff date is
If you play
January
for Ottawa,
10th.
New Jersey, the Rangers, or whichever other team, or Nashville, you're not allowed to go to the Olympics. You have to stay back in North America and play against the Senators.
Well, the league can pull out of the Olympics up to January 10th, I think. So,
I don't like the sounds of that.
Yeah, so if there's a lot more of these, you know, and they have to schedule a lot of games, it's like, could that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't like the sounds of that.
Yeah, I think, like, ultimately it'll probably be, like, more back-to-backs for each of those teams, but hopefully they make something work. I don't know if they were road games for Ottawa or if they are home games for them, but either way, hopefully they can either make a road trip work, or they can work around it somehow. We'll see. But yeah, it's kind of a weird week for fantasy, but also just a weird week in general with that COVID news. But, you know, also it's a weird week because there's some players that are absolutely gross so far this season. One of them is Connor McDavid.
Oh, man.
I know you've been having a time watching.
Just like historically good between him and Drysdale's. I think Drysdale's leading the league in points.
Yeah,
right
he
now.
Is.
He's even better than McDavid. Just the two of them are putting up numbers that haven't been seen since Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr in the early 2000s or mid to late 90s. it's just absurd what they're doing in the league right now. And the team as a whole is looking good. They're sitting like second in the league or something right now. Third in the league.
Maybe, what, after maybe Florida second and Carolina or something?
Yeah. Basically, second in points percentage, third in points shuffled between Carolina and Florida. So to get all these early points, sitting at an 11-3-0 record 14 games in, like that's a huge buffer for them if they happen to have a slump later in the season when the power play shuts down a bit. But it's just watching them play and watching the team somehow still do well. We were kind of concerned because the defense and the goaltending on paper is not great, but they're actually doing they're doing fairly well defensively.
Yeah,
compared to the rest of the league, compared to teams close to them in the standings, it's not there's not like an absurd difference.
Yeah, they've looked really good, and just the offense, such a powerhouse. It's unbelievable, and I think Nugent Hopkins leads the league. Or him and McDavid are tied for the lead in assists and Draisaitl overall points. But yeah, it's just crazy. And I think they've kind of been, I don't know, I haven't been watching a lot of their games. I've been watching when I can, but it seems to me like they're still kind of looking for a goalie. Do you kind of get that sense that that's something that they would need to put them over the edge?
They will definitely need a better one. Because Mikko Koskinen's been great, don't get me wrong. He's absolutely been a major contributing factor into why they're doing so well so far, because he's played most of the games. But he still isn't like a starter, I don't think. I don't think he's got like the full confidence that you would have if they had a goalie of, you know, like Vasilevsky or Gibson or like one of the higher end goalies playing behind them.
Yeah, I actually saw a rumor today that the Oilers are, it'd be in their interest to get Gibson.
Was something that had popped up last season too, and there was a rumored trade. I don't know where the source of the return came from, but it centered around sending Evan Bouchard and a first round pick to Anaheim for John Gibson.
Yeah, that would be interesting considering how well Bouchard's playing so far.
Yeah, I would be very unhappy with that trade, because Bouchard has very quickly shown that he is now capable of playing as a top pairing defender.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, premier goalie in the league or a young promising defenseman. I don't know. But yeah, I mean,
just,
like,
they can just anti-Niemi it and grab some random goalie to take them through.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's not always a good idea, but it can work, but it's not ideal. But, I mean, like, speaking of Gibson, he's been absolutely insane. So his value would be almost at an all-time high right now. He's just been playing lights out. I think he's won six in a row out of his last starts. And he's just... You know, the team is scoring, but they're also getting outstanding goaltending. You know, let's see, 8-2-2 record this year, 2.37 goals against, and a 9.24 save percentage. And in his last five, he's been even better than that. So, I mean, he's got a shutout in there. He's got one game where he kind of looked a little, I don't know, worse, but with like an 840. But overall, he's been amazing so far. But he's... It's as good as he's been. He hasn't been the story on the Ducks because there's a guy named Troy Terry who is on an absolutely insane point streak right now. Where he's got, 20? Is it 20 points in 14 games, or is it different than that?
He has 20 points in 15 games. Slightly less impressive.
Yeah, so I think his streak, though, is only the 14 games, so it must be all of his points. But I don't know, he's just been crazy good. He matched his point total from last year in like 33 less games.
Something like
that. Very impressive for him. But you know, he is also shooting at a 30.6 per shooting percentage.
That is absolutely sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no way 100% he's gonna fall back down to.
He will never regress from that.
No, he's gonna get, you know, this streak will be 82 games or 81 games, I guess. But another guy on the team that I wanted to point out was Ryan Getzlaff. He has, I think, also tied his point total from last season, maybe. Let me just double check that.
Yeah, he did. He's already tied it.
So he looked like he took a huge step back last year, and he has been playing extremely well for Anaheim. And so that combo of him with Troy Terry has been just great for the team.
It's been rejuvenating.
Yeah, so he's got 17 points in 16 games, and just they've been good, which is surprising.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, ourselves included, picked them to be basically last in the division.
Yeah.
Like, that was basically their consensus spot on Anaheim was bottom of the Pacific and probably near the bottom of the league.
Yeah. And, you know, they've just been, like, Getzlaff and, you know, some the older guys like Shattenkirk and have been kind of rejuvenated. Like, that was kind of the perfect word for it, I think, that you used by all the young players on the team. Like, you know, Zegras had, you know, a three-point night last night. It was against Vancouver, so, you know, with the handicap, it's about 1 point. but, like, you know, Troy Terry.
Shots fired.
Lundestrom. You know, they've just had some really great games from their young players. But, you know, all of the California teams were kind of in the mix a bit more than we perhaps thought. And Anaheim, I didn't think they were more legit than, like, the Sharks. But it seems like they are, or they might be. What do you think about that?
I feel like Anaheim is overperforming right now. Like, obviously, they're probably not ready to be where they are in the division quite yet, so they will fall back a bit. But it's based off of where they are now and where San Jose is now, and San Jose's been doing well too. Like, they'll probably end up being quite competitive with the other two California teams, kind of probably at this point in for a wild card spot. The way the California teams and the way Vegas are playing right now, then they're going to have quite the battle for the fourth spot in the Pacific Division. That could very well be a wild card spot if they keep playing like this.
Yeah, I mean, Anaheim's won 7 in a row, so they've really kind of shot up the leaderboard there.
Yeah, in a close division where, you know, they could be 6th with 17 points or 2nd with 21. So,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I thought the Sharks were more of a legitimate contender out of the California teams, but they've kind of dipped down again. They've lost a couple in a row.
I think they struggled. They had quite a COVID situation on the team and lost a lot of their best players. I think their coach was on protocol as well, and so obviously there's going to be guys who are coming back. They haven't played in a couple weeks. They were symptomatic and still have to get back into game shape or still dealing with symptoms and aren't quite 100%. So it's probably going to be a while before the Sharks can really find their feet again.
Sharks don't have feet, Sean. Come on. Basic biology.
Fine. Okay. Until the Sharks find their fins again. Yeah. My bad. I didn't take bio in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, they've had a lot of players that, we're in protocol, and I think the one difference between them and Ottawa is that, like, people, it wasn't spreading as fast. Like, it's just, like, you know, people were coming off of the list, and it wasn't, more players weren't going back on, so that's why they didn't get shut down. But Logan Couture has been great for them, you know, 12 points, even split between goals and assists in 13 games. But James Reimer has actually been really good too. So he's started 6 games. He's got a 3-2-1 record, but he's got a 1.82 goals against and a .940 save percentage. So he's been absolutely great for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, once they get those other players back, maybe they do kind of jump back into, you know, the lead between the California teams. But, you know, the other team is L.A. They actually have been kind of hot and cold, I guess, but their goaltending duo of Cal Peterson and Jonathan Quick. I feel like every year we hear like Cal Peterson is ready to take the reins, and every year Jonathan Quick is kind of like, no. I mean,
yeah, that's very accurate, because Peterson's kind of been waiting in the wings there for like at least 3-4 seasons now, and last year we finally saw Peterson take over most of the starting role, and he got like a $5 million per year contract over the summer. So we go into this year thinking, okay, he's definitely the Kings' starting goalie. You know, Quick's the backup. And what, 3 or 4 games in, Quick's starting to play 2 of every 3 games because he's playing just that much better than Peterson.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for Quick's part, he's got a 4-3-1 record with a 1.98 goals against average and a 9.35 save percentage. So he's been solid as well. So,
and that's
yeah.
not even to say Peterson's been terrible, because he's got a 4-2-1 record with a 284 goals against average and a 902 save percentage. So like,
yeah,
he's
so
not doing terrible on the team.
Not
it's just
terrible,
Quick's,
but you know,
Quick's
not
just
as
been
good.
Better.
Yeah, he's just been better, and I think Quick had a shutout, so it boosts his save percentage too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of interesting that you know, all three of those California teams have been getting solid goaltending, because that was. Except for the Ducks, I think it was kind of a question mark a little bit for, especially for San Jose. But yeah, it's interesting to see like the California road trip isn't as easy as, you know, we might have thought it would have been for teams coming into the season. They're a bit more of a fight. So we'll see where they kind of end up, but. The division is definitely a weird mix. You've got the Oilers and the Flames, who look like the kind of the, you know, they're churning along. The Ducks are kind of overperforming. You got the Golden Knights, kind of coming back to life. The Kings and Sharks, right in the kind of the, you know, the middle of the pack there, and then the Canucks and the Kraken just at the absolute bottom.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Canucks. You said it yesterday after their game. They're just imploding on themselves.
Yeah, like I think it was against, like, when they were playing against Vegas, it was like a tie game, and then in the third they just like stopped, just like let up a bunch of goals. It's like, okay, I guess we don't want to win.
Yeah, we're done now. See you later.
Yeah, they're rough to watch, man. They are not fun to watch.
No, and it's not even just like a single game; it's the whole season. They're just bad.
Yeah.
And like you said, they're not fun to watch. They aren't, there's no cohesion in what they're doing. Their best players are slumping or struggling. Like, Pettersson's barely been productive at all. Besser and Horvat, I haven't heard them doing a whole lot. And like, Demko is doing what he can to stand on his head, but like, you can only do so much when the team in front of you is doing nothing.
Yeah, it's definitely not goaltending. You know, it's just, yeah, I think it's probably a mixture of coaching and just a lot of turnover on that team.
Yeah.
You know, you had some of the veterans on that team left. You know, you had Alex Edler, who was the longest tenured Canuck, who, you know, moved on. He's now in L.A. You know, you've got Brandon Sutter, who's on the IR for, you know, since the start of the season. You know, they traded out Roussel and Beagle. Louis Erickson, you know, those guys might not have made an impact on the score sheet every night, but, you know, they're penalty killing, they're checking, they're, you know, energy guys. You know, they lost Gadjevic and McEwen on waivers.
Yeah.
You know, those are also energy guys.
And
they
lost them on waivers to replace them with Alex Chiasson and Justin Dowling.
Yeah, and they
put Chiasson.
Put Chiasson and Dowling on the first penalty unit instead of Brock Besser. So, like, one of the guys with, like, one of the best shots in the league, and you're like, yeah, no, let's put Chiasson out there in front of the net. So
yeah, it's just baffling.
It's a mixture of just head scratcher coaching moves, and I think just a crazy roster turnover, and just, you know, I don't know what their identity is, because you've got you know, instead of Jay Beagle, Roussel, Erickson, you know, killing penalties and stuff, you've got, I don't know, like, who you got out there? You got Dowling. No, he's a power play specialist, right?
Yeah, can't be using him on a penalty kill.
Yeah, like 30-year-old guy with like, what was it, like 20 points in the league or something?
If that.
So, yeah, I mean, like the one positive thing has been Garland. I think he's been really good for them.
Yeah, Garland's been a positive spot. JT Miller has been 18 points in 16 games. He's basically like most of that team's offense at this point.
Yeah, I think Pod Colson has been. I don't think he's been particularly amazing.
Three goals and zero assists in 14 games. I also don't think he's really getting much of a shot with 10 minutes of ice time per game.
No, and so they've got some very, like I said, interesting coaching decisions. You watch the games and you think, hey, a guy like McEwen would have been good in this game because he could have got the guys going, you know?
Like, imagine a fourth line that's got Tyler Mott and Zach McEwen on it.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the type of fourth line that would probably be a good combination, like a good energy line, a good momentum swinger.
Yeah, get the fans into the game at home, right? It's just, they're boring to watch and they suck. Like, they just, their power play sucks ass too.
Now, do you think that Jim Benning gets fired first or Travis Green gets fired first?
I think coach will be fired. I think Green gets fired and then Benning gets fired if it doesn't turn around
in the offseason, probably.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's going to be kind of that, was it Hextall situation where it's like the GM is reluctant to fire the coach and then it's, you know what, we'll fire you then, and then the next guy will fire the coach immediately as his first move. I could see it going either way, to be honest.
Because honestly, I think the amount of value that has been lost in player transactions over the past year or two, but from the trades, from the waiver losses, from whatever signings and replacements they brought in, like that does fall on the GM and his staff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the coach can only do what he can with the roster that he's given, but...
Yeah. He's also making questionable decisions himself.
He's also making some extremely questionable decisions, and it's like, okay, are you trying to win games here, or are you trying to just move the chess pieces around in different ways? I think he's probably one of the most tenured coaches in the league at this point. I think he's been there for quite a while for a coach. I mean, like, there's a coach fired on average like every 40 days in the NHL, so it's like, you know, he's probably due on the chopping block pretty soon anyway. So
yeah, most coaches don't make it past like 4 or 5 years.
No, yeah.
And
so
there's been a lot of turnover in the last two or three seasons, I think.
Yeah. You know, like on paper, the Canucks look like they should be better than where they're at, but they've got a lot of new guys in that dressing room, and it's just not working.
Yeah.
You know. It's just not. So something's got to give there if they want to compete. You know, I think regardless of if Benning gets fired in the season, if they don't make playoffs, I think they're both gone. I think both Green and Benning are gone if they miss again. Ownership's not going to be happy with that. I think Benning's made playoffs like once, and it was like, you know, the bubble during his time there. So that's not good enough. You've had your time to do your rebuild, and now you're losing players, and you're trading away picks and, you know, prospects for guys that you don't even keep that want to be there.
Yeah,
and you don't even call them. So, yeah,
And looking at how they're utilizing their cap space too, is just atrocious.
Yeah, buyouts.
What they're spending money on, what they're spending a lot of money on. It's just tying up so much of their flexibility. It's going to take whatever happens, like whatever new GM comes in, it's going to take so long for them to free up a lot of what's going on here. And they're really going to end up having to shuffle things around and probably rebuild even longer just to get the cap space opened up again.
Yeah, and like we all know like the whole like Toffoli situation and everything, but I think one thing that might get kind of swept under the rug a little bit is like the Nate Schmidt thing. It's like he was very vocal about how much he wanted out of Vancouver, and he tried to say I didn't request a trade or anything. And you just look at how he's fit in Winnipeg. Somewhere that wants to be him, the coach plays him, how he wants to be played, and you look at how he struggled in Vancouver, and it's like, Holtby struggled too. Holtby did really well in Dallas to start the year. So it's like, how much of that is coaching, and how much of that is like the player? Because it's like Nate Schmidt is doing well in Winnipeg, also another Canadian city. He's not the number one D-man there or anything, but like they play him to his strengths. He's got a partner. They didn't really do that for him in Vancouver, and it was a weird room for him. He said like it was hard to make friends and stuff, and it's like, what kind of environment is that locker room right now, right? Where it's like a guy comes in, you don't even like make him feel welcome.
Yeah, like that just speaks to that lack of cohesion from before, especially with all the turnover. Like, is the turnover because of the issues, or is the turnover contributing to the locker room issues? Like, if you have so much turnover, there's obviously not going to be very much cohesion between like newer players and tenured players, because it's going to be like, well, you're going to be gone in 2 years anyways, whatever.
Yeah,
But at the
so that's a
same
w
time, like,
overall
is
weird.
there a lot of cliques and stuff going on in there, and players just aren't particularly open to working with everybody in the room, but besides just the handful of people they're close with?
It could be.
And like that could all that also speaks and ends up speaking to like a leadership and a coaching thing. That's, is the do the team is the team's captain are the team's captains doing enough to help the players all work together in the locker room? Are the coaches able to help out with that in any way? Like,
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, a shitty situation, because they're just doing so bad. They you just see it on the ice. It just struggles. It just
well, even like their special teams, 15.3% on the power play and 62.3% on the penalty kill.
God awful.
They're basically they end up bleeding an extra goal per game just on the penalty kill because of how bad it is. And that, I mean, that speaks to before when you're trying to remember who would even play penalty kill for them.
Yeah, it's like they're bottom three in the league for goals against, and bottom 10 for goals for. And with like the offensive players they have, you'd expect them to be a bit more middle of the pack, or the top end. But like you said, there's some slumps and some just weird decisions being made and shaking up the lines all the time, and it's not going well. So I think Travis Green is probably my bet for coach on, whose butt is getting the hottest right now on the hot seat. I think DJ Smith might be there, but I think this COVID break thing might buy him some time.
I don't think Ottawa's problem is coach so much as it is they're still trying to put a roster together that's like more than just a team, like an NHL team, a good team.
I mean, but when the GM says the rebuild is over,
Actually, you know what? That's a good point. We might looking at the team might realize that it's not done, but if the owner is like, "Well, you're done, you can move on now." And if the team doesn't start turning it around, then it's like it doesn't matter what's actually happening. It just matters what's their perception of it is.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, we're done. Here's your team, and they still had a really bad start to the year. So maybe they fire him and get somebody else in, and then it's like it doesn't really solve anything, because it's not a good team. It's just can only do so much with it. But I don't know. I think Green is my pick for the most likely to get fired here, because it's just hot garbage every night. Yeah, it's not good.
And looking around the rest of the league too, I mean, disappointing teams like Pittsburgh sitting second last in their division, 500 points percentage. Is Sullivan on the hot seat there? Hard to say, but it has to be Green, because maybe Dallas's coach, but.
Yeah, I think Dallas. I think
Bonus, right?
Bonus, yeah, is definitely there as well. Just because they've just been so bad offensively, and I think some of that's system. But, you know, the Canucks...
They've got enough offensive players that it shouldn't be that much of an issue, but it still is. So you kind of have to draw back to team systems.
Yeah. You know, I think Bonus is probably the next one, maybe, on the list for me. And the Canucks are in the middle of that four-game losing skid. You know, how long do they let that go? Pittsburgh, Crosby's only played two games. He hasn't had a single point yet. I think he's, like, minus five or something. He came back. They got absolutely shit-pumped by the Capitals yesterday, yeah. Which...
I was going to ask.
Know, oh, yeah.
In that game, Crosby basically threw Martin Fariveri into the boards. Total interference. Like, there was no puck involved in the play. It wasn't a hockey play at all. How do you feel about that play? Because Crosby didn't get any supplemental discipline.
I think he should have got a penalty for it. I don't know about, like, suspension or something, but, like, it was dangerous and reckless, and he showed a shadow of, like, his former self in the league when he got all pissy, and, you know, it reminded me a lot of that. And I think it's just the frustration of not playing well, and then he comes back and his team just gets fucking annihilated, which was awesome to see. But, you know, you can't be pulling that shit. So, yeah, I think he should have got a penalty on it, but other than that, I think it was fine. And I think, like, the Capitals went after him, just to let him know that shit's not going to fly just because you're Sidney Crosby. So, I'd like to see that, too. But I really like to see the Penguins lose. What was 6-1?
Yeah,
that was the best part.
Like,
but you know, my whole point here was like Crosby's only played twice, so 2 out of 14 games. Malkin still isn't back. You know, they've had some other players out. You know, the Penguins always deal with a lot of issues with injuries. You know, they've had, like, I think Dumoulin has been on COVID protocol. There was, like, moving forward after this Capitals game, they had two games, I think, this week. One was against Ottawa, maybe, or maybe that was the week after. But they were going to play Ottawa and Montreal, and Crosby might not have even been able to come into Canada because of he just had COVID. And so just having COVID, you would have to isolate for 14 days for coming into Canada. And so it's like, well, he can't do that if it's a road trip for, like, you know, 5 days or whatever. So...
Yeah,
you know, I think it's just a lot of frustration there, but once they get kind of the more consistency in their lineup, I think they should turn it around a bit. But just as a Capitals fan, you know, I do love to see it, but I do want Crosby to succeed. Like, I like seeing him do well and getting points and stuff. So it just sucks to see one of the greatest players of all time just not playing.
Oh, of course.
And just when he is playing, it's just like nothing happening. So
yeah, he just can't find his skates. He gets back, plays a game, has to go miss another like 8 games, comes back, plays a game, and it's just like you get destroyed. Like, there's no momentum, there's no, you know, adjusting to the game speed. Like, you just don't get any rhythm going.
Yeah, and he did have symptoms too of COVID, so let's not forget that, you know, he's sick. So
yeah,
coming back after being sick sucks no matter what job you have. No, never, like, forget about like a physical professional athlete. So yeah, it sucks, but you know, hopefully he'll turn it around and start putting up some points. I'm sure he will. It's just, you know,
might take a couple of games.
Yeah, but I don't know, is there any other coach that you think might be in trouble? I think, you know, Dominic Ducharme is probably safe after that finals appearance.
Yeah, he's probably earned a season of garbage, considering I think Bergevin's seat's probably hotter, and also an understanding that, like, they've lost a lot of their roster to a variety of things for significant parts of the season, and you can only do so much. Like we've said multiple times already today, you can only do so much with what you've got. And if you've got hurt players... you know, losing players, like, he can't do everything. In terms of other coaches that might be on the hot seat, I kind of thought about this one through the off season, but I'm wondering about Paul Maurice in Winnipeg, because he's been there for so many years, but they've never been able to, you know, get to the final step of a playoff run. They got to the like conference finals that once, but they've never gotten past that. And this is a team whose cup window is going to be closing probably soon. You know, depending when Hellebuck, Scheifele, Wheeler, Ehlers, like depending how long they can keep things up and keep the core together and performing. But if they don't make a deep playoff run this year, and it might be one of their best shots with the additions they made in the offseason, like, do they make a coaching change to try and get just that little bit extra out of the team?
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, they've had, you know, some close calls in playoffs, but yeah, like you said, they haven't had that success. So it could happen. I mean, Wheeler looks like hot garbage so far this season.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still like in the top end of their division, but
oh, they're second in their division, 19 points in 14 games. They're doing good, and that's with their best players doing nothing, because Scheifele, Wheeler, and Ehlers have either been out of the lineup or not scoring at all. So yeah, that's like a very good sign that when their top players find their games, then they'll still be really good, if not better.
Yeah, it'd probably be an after the season sort of thing, I think, for them.
Oh,
but
definitely. That would not be a mid-season coaching change.
Yeah,
it'd be
could happen.
This is your last shot type thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's I think that one. Yeah, because they just haven't been able to get over the hurdle for so long, and he's been there forever. So, it could definitely. I could see him getting canned if they get knocked out in the first round or something.
Yeah, especially if it's a quick exit.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of off the tail of that Capitals versus Penguins just blowout, you know, my guy Alex Ovechkin, fourth all time in NHL goals. It's pretty goddamn cool to see. It's kind of a, you know, historical moment, just seeing him push for that goal record.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
yeah,
unreal.
So who's next? Is he able to hit the third all time this season?
I think it is Jágr next up, and I think it's only like 16 goals or something above fourth. So I think he could do it. I think it's Jágr, then Howe, and then Gretzky.
Yep, it is. So, yeah, Ovechkin's 24 goals behind Jágr. So with
a little bit more,
you know,
than
60 plus games left in the season, I feel like Ovi's going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think so.
The rate he's scoring goal per game this season, I think he'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think we'll see him pass Jágr this season. And then I don't know how much further Howe is, but maybe the next season after that.
35.
Okay, so maybe early, mid next season, and then the season after that, go for Gretzky.
Yeah, that'd be a historic season if he can push and get Gretzky in two seasons.
No, in three, I mean. Like, so this season, okay, he passes Jágr, next season he passes Howe, season after,
okay,
that, Gretzky.
Yeah, that would be realistic.
But yeah,
just imagine too, because he would already basically be there if he didn't lose like a season and a half to lockout and a season to COVID stuff.
Yeah, like basically two,
right?
Two and a half like entire seasons he's lost.
And we're talking like earlier in his career when he was scoring 50 to 60 a year. Like,
yeah,
he'd be up there already.
Yeah, he would be there, I think. He has a higher goals per game than Gretzky over Gretzky's entire career.
Yeah,
Gretzky slowed down a lot scoring wise, but assists he still racked them,
yep,
up. But yeah, I think Ovechkin's goals per game is like 0.619 or something, and Gretzky's like 0.602 or something like that. So it's like absolutely insane. Like no one's close to that. So
by far like the best goal scorer in NHL history.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, people were like, "Oh, he got hurt in preseason. He's not going to play." It's like, "Nope."
That was a concern.
He got like a hat trick or something.
Yeah,
it's like, no, he's good.
Yeah, And you start wondering after he missed some time last season at the end of the year with a leg or a hamstring or something, and then missed time through the preseason again. Like, oh, are the injuries finally going to catch up with him? Because he's typically a fairly healthy player over the course of his career.
Yeah, he's had extremely good health throughout his career. He hasn't missed like any time. So it's like, that's awesome, obviously. But like, if he had the seasons that he missed, like, his health and and those seasons, he probably would have been there by now.
Oh, for sure.
Or within 20 goals or something like that. But,
yeah, like, he'd be breaking it this season at the latest.
Yeah. So that, yeah, I mean, what if? But it's just remarkable, historical to watch that guy. Like, he's just one of the best ever. So it's so fun to watch and just see how happy he is after scoring his 741st. It's like same as his first one. So it's pretty cool. And
it's never gonna get old watching Ovi just stand in the offensive zone with his hands kind of just like hanging down there waiting for the puck on the power play.
I mean, like, that's why he'd probably break it, because he plays 2 whole minutes on the power play, so he just you know, gets a lot of looks.
Yeah, he just stands there and recovers in between.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool, you know. You've got like Connor McDavid, who's like setting like historic paces
generational,
like,
paces.
Sixth fastest player to, what was it, 600 points or 400?
Yep.
Yeah, so unreal that he's got that many points already, and just that he keeps getting faster at getting
the
next 100.
That's the one 100. That gets me. So far in his career, every 100 points that McDavid hits is done faster than the previous 100. So he's down to like 52 or 53 games to go from 600 to 700. So I joked earlier today about what it like 7 or 15 games or something to hit his 1,200 to 1,300 points.
Yeah, he's just exponential. He's learning.
Yeah, and it's just he's like evolving. Every season he comes in with new talents and new things. This season he comes in with a one timer.
Yeah, so it's like it shaved some more goal or some more games off of how many it takes. It's just gross. So he's absolutely insane. And then just to have a guy like Draisaitl along for the ride, you know, and providing his own talent, is just insane to see them work together.
Not even along for the ride anymore. He's his own generational talent.
Yeah, he's awesome. So, I mean, like, we talked about it earlier, but like, if they get a goalie.
See, the concern that I have is, the Oilers are a very average team at even strength. They basically have an even goal differential at 5v5. The entirety of their success right now is coming from special teams.
Yeah, they're like 60% or something.
Yeah, they're 40%+ power play and like 90% penalty kill. They basically score an extra goal per game on the power play and don't give up an extra goal a game on the penalty kill. And that's the difference in what they're doing right now. So, like, if they were to start the playoffs today, they would probably lose in the first round because they're not going to get the calls. They're not going to get the chances on the power play.
The whistles go away.
Yeah. So they probably lose very quickly because they just don't have the 5v5 strength to, you know, win. They're pretty much even at that.
So do you think a goalie gets them over the line?
It helps. if they give up less goals at even strength, you know, however they figure out a way to give up less goals, it's going to help, because, you know, they need to get the goal differential at even strength higher than it is right now. It's basically +1 or 0.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. There's, like, been no trades this year so far, so maybe...
Other than Eichel and...
Yeah, one, but, like, just the
was
one...
Was it Johnny Boychuk's rights or something for...
Yeah, Bag of Pucks or something. Yeah, it's... It's been pretty quiet on that front, so maybe there'll be some more moves getting closer to the deadline, but still a lot of hockey to play, so we'll see. I think that's kind of a wrap for this week.
That wraps things up for this time here on Clappercast. Make sure you rate and review this episode and toss a follow or subscribe our way. For more content, you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Clappercast Media or on Twitter at Clappercast. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more hockey talk.